Beautiful job, Grace Ben. They did a wonderful job already earlier this morning. And as we are learning and joining Jesus and disciples on the road of Emmaus, there's one of these biblical words that you can pronounce it different ways. Emmaus, Emmaus. Or like we Nordic countries say, Emmaus. When I was new to this country and I preached about this reading and I keep on saying, disciples, we're going to Emmaus. And some of them are having a hard time to figure out what mouse are we talking about. Well, Emmaus. Emmaus or Emmaus. Anyway, the road to Emmaus is so deeply profound, deeply touching road, as these disciples were walking from something and towards something. It is very moving because Jesus was meeting with disciples in great despair, and moving from despair to hope through an encounter with the risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But that is what always happened to us, am I right? We don't have to go 2,000 years back. Well, we do tonight, this morning, but it can happen to you this morning right here as you follow this, what happened on that road. Jesus meets broken, disillusioned disciples. Then he interprets scriptures to them, and then he reveals his necessity to suffer, and then finally make himself known in the breaking of bread, which means transformation, change for disciples, transforming them from despair into mission and mission of joy. So first of all, we can say that this very road that we are talking about, the road from Jerusalem to Emmaus, disciples were on the road of despair. Despair, verses 13 through 24. It was that road at that time. So here we are, here they are, walking away from Jerusalem toward Emmaus. The world had just turned upside down for a reason, because Jesus was crucified. Jesus is dead. Jesus is gone. But what was their biggest problem? Have you been thinking about it? What was their biggest problem as they were walking away from everything that had been pretty much center of their life? Not just a part of their life, but center of their life. The problem was hopes unmet. Hopes unmet. Have you been ever in that situation in your life? That feels like the heaven comes down, roof comes down, or foundation breaks down. Namely, as they were airing out their hopelessness to this stranger on the road, while talking to this unknown, unrecognized Jesus, they say, we have hope that he was the one to redeem Israel. We have hope. We so badly hoped that she was the one to redeem Israel. Now, see, the hope had been much greater than redeeming my life, Jesus. Redeeming our life, but the redeeming the whole nation of Israel. So their focus was so fixed on the tragedy of the cross that they could not see the reality of the resurrection. Even they have heard messages, news, reports of the empty tomb. They were still out. When I was reading this narrative from the Gospel of Luke, to prepare for this message, back and forth reading it, I was asking myself, and you may want to ask as well, is this picture of the church today? And I am not just talking about us local church here, but church in general. I want us to think about it. Like these disciples, many today are slow to hearing. Slow to hearing. Spiritually maybe ignorant. And just focus more on their problems than on Christ's victory on the cross. Church, we can get to that point very easy. We start seeing only negativity, only losses, only bad things, and we forget that actually the one we are serving won the victory. He rose again. We are not to forget who are we serving and who is walking and working with us. His name is Jesus, and he rose from the dead, and he is the Lord today. Am I right? And you can say amen on that. Then secondly, Jesus gave them the greatest, and should we say, eye-opening and uplifting sermon never recorded. You heard me right. I didn't say ever recorded. I say never recorded. Read it from verses 25 through 27. Namely, in our reading, Jesus does not immediately reveal his face. He first revealed his word. See, at that time, it was transition situation, transitional. Jesus had been among them in person, flesh and blood, 100% divine, 100% human. Now, after resurrection, he was in the process of going back to his heavenly Father. This was prior ascension. So he was appearing. But here, Jesus was already teaching that from this on, I am going to appear to you by the Word, through the Word, by the power of the Holy Spirit. You are not going to have me among you explaining things, but you need to learn to read what I have offered to you in the Bible and from the Bible. So if we want to know what Jesus thinks about us, think about you, think about his church, think about many things, we are to read the Word of God. That's where it says everything, what he wants us to know. He reveals us to us in his Word. So there was sufficiency of the Scripture present. Jesus walks through the Old Testament from Moses, Luke says, beginning from Moses to the prophets, to show that the Messiah had to suffer to end and then enter to his glory. So we don't really know. That's the sermon we are missing. We don't know what that uplifting, powerful sermon was all about. Luke says, give us the guidelines. Here is what it covered. He reminds his disciples about Moses, about the other Old Testament holy people, prophets, pointing at him that Messiah was to born and then suffer and die for the sinners. So Jesus literally pointed the way to his disciples by referring to the Scriptures. Referring to the Scriptures. Berea UMC, we have a treasure among us. You are holding a treasure in your hands. You may have many treasures at home, hopefully one on the kitchen table and dining room table, hopefully one on your bedside table, maybe one or two in your home library. I'm talking about the Word of God. That is where God appeared to us. Through the Word, he blesses us, wakes us up, empowers us, makes us excited about Jesus and his mission. So Jesus told his disciples that Messiah had to suffer. This is all part of the picture, as sad as it is. And then he will enter his glory. And what happened in the hearts of those disciples? His disciples extended their invitation for this stranger that they were about to figure it out, yet they didn't know, they were not sure. They invited him to stay. Please stay with us. You have touched our hearts so deeply. Stay with us. It's getting dark. It's getting late. Come inside. Have supper with us. Rest with us. And Jesus, what did he do? He didn't force his presence. Jesus didn't force his presence. He awaits for the invitation to come, and it came. Jesus, not calling him Jesus yet, but stay with us, invitation came. Have you invited Jesus to be part of your walk today? Did it happen this morning? Have you invited him to be with you? Literally, Jesus, I gotta have him. I gotta have you. I need you, Lord. He doesn't force himself, but he comes as he was invited. Then comes the culmination of Jesus' visit here, and you wonder, what is it? The breaking of the bread. The breaking of the bread. When Jesus broke the bread and handed over to his disciples, something happened. This was the communion, friends. They remember this has happened before. Yeah, it was Maundy Thursday night. It was before Good Friday. It was before his crucifixion when we have Last Supper together. Okay, now we are getting it. It comes back to us. He's repeating the same thing, saying, this is my body broken for you. Do this as often you break this bread to remember me. And then after supper, he gave the cup, and he said, this is my blood of the new covenant, pour it out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. And they remembered it. It was the communion, it was the Eucharist. It was the Lord's Supper, Holy Communion. The setting was very simple there. Ordinary act, but Jesus himself was the celebrant. He was the one breaking the bread and offering the cup. As always at the communion, it is Jesus himself who is serving us. You see me serving, I am just assisting him. We say he's the celebrant. I am not the celebrant. Christ is the celebrant at his table. And we are the servants he serves at the highest capacity. We got to get that right. We got to understand the meaning of the sacrament. The setting there was pretty simple and ordinary, but Jesus himself was a celebrant. And that is where the disciples realized, well, he must be Jesus serving us. While Jesus was breaking the bread and handing over the cup, the Bible says, disciples' eyes were opened. He's Jesus. He's blessing us. They saw clearly who was with them. This is a very clear picture to us today as we worship. We better believe that he's among us today, even here. Am I right? He's here among us. He's here with us. And especially at the communion service, it is him who is the celebrant. He's serving us, and he's inviting everyone to come to him. This is why in the Methodist Church, we don't start picking whether I feel that you better stay and wait, and you can come, please, you come. You seem like good enough to come over. No. We just open the door. We are the doorman, okay? And the door is standing behind us, and his name is Jesus. We are just welcoming people to come to the Lord. And this happened after disciples encountered with Jesus. They realized and recognized who this stranger was. So Jesus is serving us. And then the mutual care that comes from our friends, brothers, and sisters will strengthen our faith. It is the real presence of Christ that made difference at that time, and it's the real presence of Christ that makes difference today in the life of the church. So disciples realized that their hearts were already burning within them, they say. When did that happen? On the road where Jesus spoke to them from the scriptures. The word of God ignites the soul even there and before the mind fully grasps what the truth is. In the Methodist Church, we have the four pillars. If we've been trained by Asbury Seminary, you know, if even somebody wakes you up in the middle of the night, you better know it. The Wesleyan Quadrilateral. Bible, prayer, Christian conferencing, fasting, and then the sacraments. The sacraments of baptism and the Holy Communion. But there are other ways to see it. The Bible, the prayer, reasoning, and then experiencing God's truth. These all being given to us to understand what the reading is about. And then, lastly, but not leastly, then comes the mission of joy for disciples. The mission of joy, verses 33 to 35. After encountering with the risen Lord Jesus, seemed like it demanded response from disciples. So there was immediate turnaround for disciples. Why I'm saying this, despite of dark, dangerous road and late hours, the disciples, like Luke says, rose that same hour and they run back 7 miles back to Jerusalem. What for? To share the good news about risen Lord. Jesus had communion with us. Jesus was with us. He explained the readings to us. He was with us. So they moved from isolation back to community. And that is what Jesus always does to us. From isolation, from loneliness, from desperation, back to community, back to church, back where Christians gather together, back to worship, back to communion, back to mission, back to doing good deeds for the sake of Christ. And they were sharing their testimonies and so getting stronger in their faith. Something to take home today. I have a few questions to ask from ourselves. Where are you currently walking on your journey? Are you walking away from Jerusalem? Or are you coming back to Jerusalem, which is the heart of your faith? Are you escaping to Emmaus, trying to find hiding place for your desperation? Or do you have a strength to go back to where all the wonderful things took place, including the crucifixion, including your hardships, your troubles, hurts? You go back there with exciting message, Jesus Christ is risen and Lord and He's with me. Or do you know, or are you willing to invite the stranger to have breaking of bread and Lord's Supper with you? Inviting him, Jesus, stay with me, stay with me. The day is almost gone, it's getting dark and late, stay with me. Or you may say, I have so many things going on, Lord, please stay with me. I need your power, I need your grace, I need your strength. Jesus, stay with me. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue our worship time by the ministry of giving, if the ushers can come forward for that.